Well, we've crossed the road and come a few hundred yards and slightly down the hill, not far actually away from your lake here, Chris, but we're on the edge of a field and Rat is still in his element.
Yes, he's walking along, this time with a stick in his mouth. He's very, very pleased with this arrangement this morning to come along and accompany us, and he seems to know he's doing a really good job of doing what rats do, or terriers should I say. And we're standing beside a lovely avenue of mature oak trees here at High Ash Farm. There's about a dozen down here. They're quite famous. They introduced a country-wide program on the television a few years ago, and my son was here with a kestrel, and the kestrel flew off, and that introduced a whole series of television programs, and these trees featured every week, and they've become quite famous, really.
It's among your pride and joy on the farm, this row here.
Yes, absolutely. And so we don't cultivate near the trees at all. There's about 8 metres each side of the trees of rough grass, and it's absolutely full of small mammals. There's tussocky grass there, full of wildflowers as well, and it's all brackled over at the moment.
All the oak leaves on the ground?
Yes, the leaves are still there. And, well, you look round, and I know we saw the skylarks, the yellowhammers, the deer, but the countryside, once you know where to look and how to look, it's absolutely full of wildlife. And the sheep were on here grazing about 2 weeks ago, and they've eaten all the ivy leaves off the bottom, 4 or 5 feet of the oak tree.
They've done quite a neat job there, and in fact the clue is the wool that is left in
yes.
some of the ivy there.
Yes, and that's of course brilliant nesting material in the spring. It's sort of caught on to the ivy that surrounds the oak tree, and all the oaks here are covered in ivy. And there's still lots of berries on there for the winter visiting thrushes to eat. Little black coloured berries, all with ivy seeds in them. But I always like you to come in closer and take that second look. So I'm just going to part the little wash boughs, they're called, the ones that sort of grow right close to the tree in low down twigs, and we'll get in close.
It's a terrific pattern that the ivy makes, isn't it? Now it's revealed by the sheep grazing, and oh my goodness, look, you're right. We have shells, we have snails.
We have snails, and down this row of avenue of oak trees, I've done a bit of an estimate for you. There's well over 250,000 snails, and we're looking at perhaps 2,000 here in front of us.
All shapes and sizes.
And the more that you look, the more you see. The whole bark of the tree is covered in hibernating snails. So,
and they've just got in as deeply as they can.
This might suit you, Matthew, because they spend 6 months of the year asleep and sort of hibernate. So through the cold weather, which I know you don't particularly like, but it is plastered with snails. And some of the adults have come in with this year's youngsters on their backs.
Oh, those are the tiny little...
Yes, that's all this year's offspring. And something has happened.
All these ones here as well.
Yes, look, they're just 1 year old snails, which are perfect mimics of their parents.
No less than 1/4 inch across.
Yes, some of them not much larger than a head of a match. And the adults, these are 2 or 3 years old ones that my index finger's just on. And then all around them just got in, and then another layer of snails come in on top of the hibernating layer, and then another layer. So some of these patches of snails are 3 or 4 inches deep. It's just extraordinary when you look in, and the more that you look, the more that you see. And they're nearly always on the northeastern side of the tree, the coldest side, so they don't get the winter sun on them to warm them up. So this will be in the shade very shortly as the sun moves around. It's almost due south at the moment, and in an hour or so it will be southwesterly. And it's just, the sun's just come out beautifully and actually illuminating the patterns on their shells, and they look beautiful. Matthew, nearly every county in England has its own nickname for rat. What are you doing in there? For snails. In Norfolk, we call them Dodmans, and the reason is a rat has gone down a hole under the oak tree. Rat! What? Oh, no. The reason they're called Dodmans are sort of very ancient surveyors, and they used to carry their tools each side of their head. They're sort of levelling bars, we call them. And so snails seem to have these very long antennae with their eyes on the end of the antennae, and so that's where the name Dodman came from. And also the Romany gypsies that really thought it was unlucky if you harmed a snail in any way, because snails kind of take their houses with them, and Romany gypsies thought that they were very similar, that they took their houses with them wherever they went when they travelled about. And the secret is that I was a sugar beet grower here, and to grow sugar beet you need quite a high lime content, at least neutral in the soil, 6.5, ideally 7 or 7.5 pH, we call it, which is a measure of the lime content in the soil. And I started using, it was the local lime sludge, which is used for filtering the sugar at the local sugar beet factory, and it's top quality Derbyshire limestone. And it's brought down to all the sugar beet factories use it, and the waste, farmers can buy it back and have it spread on the ground, and it's perfect because it's really high quality, and you can bump your pH back up to where it should be to suit sugar beet in a rotation.
And the snails like it?
And of course snail shells are made of calcium. And so this is why in heathland, acidic heathland, you do see a few species, but far, far fewer. And so these snails, there's no molluscicides used on the farm at all. And so we don't do anything to control the mollusks, which is what snails are. And they're absolutely thriving. And this time of the year, they've completed their massive migration. We're always interested in birds like swallows, which go right down to South Africa. And for me, the snails do a similar kind of journey, because they're right out on the other side of this field, and they crawl all the way across, and they have traditional hibernating places.
So these larger ones will come back here winter winter?
Winter after winter. They can live several years. But also, we have lots of small mammals here which feed on them, and birds as well. It's a favourite food of our song thrush. And when you look down on the ground, Matthew, this is a little bit of a graveyard down here. Can you listen the other way, you snails, so you don't hear this? There's fragments of snail shells all over the ground. The ground almost looks white, as though it's been hailed on, and they're fragments of snail shell, and they're shrews that are eating them, and birds that peck them, and so they're good food as well. And even wrens will come in and peck the centre out of them. The wrens crawl in amongst the ivy, and if a snail's facing the wrong way, the wren will eat that as well.
Well, we're standing up against this oak, this tree, and about head height is the highest snail I've seen, so they're quite good climbers.
Oh, they'll go right up.
They'll
go right up. Some of the trees have got them up 15, 20 feet up in the ivy.
And the ones that survive are the ones that will really get into the crevices.
Yes, just walk round here a little bit, Matthew.
Excuse me, rat, sorry, I won't tread on your tail.
You'll be even more impressed. Look in here. Just unbelievable.
Dozens and dozens.
And it's almost as though they're so tight they can't get back out. But they don't actually grow during the winter months, and they're all fast asleep. So it's just a wonderful sight. It's so easy to walk past and miss it, and yet it's a really important part of our natural environment.
So when spring comes, they reactivate themselves.
Yes, look, there's an adult there, and it's got two tiny youngsters attached to it. So whether they sort of hitched a ride to save them doing this massive migration across the field here, or whether they arrived under their own steam, but the population at the farm here is absolutely huge. So that's all part of biodiversity. It all fits together like a magic jigsaw puzzle when you have all these different species all living in a particular area, and that's exactly what we're trying to do at the farm here. Just how it should be, I would like to say.
l'escargot for breakfast.
I thought you'd say this. No, they're just the what we call the Roman snails, and they are huge. They've got shells about 2 inches across, 50 millimetres across, and we think the Romans introduced those as part of their diet. But these are common garden snails that you'll see anywhere in the English countryside. Happy New Year, everybody. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's the 1st of January. And Rat, my demented terrier, has asked to go out because he's seen a fox in the garden. Just listen to this. Rat one side of a bush. The fox the other. Right, Rat, would you come out of that bush? The fox is gnarling and gnashing its teeth. That noise is called geckering. And it's baring its teeth and gnarling and gnashing at Rat because he's cornered it in my shrubbery. Oh, dear. I'm in a dressing gown and the wind's blowing a hooly. Come on. Would you come out? I'm not going to walk into that shrubbery. I've got bare feet. If anybody's got any ideas, you can write in. Right, that is it. I'm going to have to walk on to the shrubbery with bare feet and try and grab a terrier, which will be shortly for sale. No, I've now got wet feet. And there's holly nearby. Here, Rat, out. Come on. It's gone quiet. There's a standoff, I think. I'm only 3 feet from the dreaded terrier. And I think... I'm not sure. No, I thought the fox had legged it, but it hasn't. Rat, would you come here? Come on, out. Soaking wet feet. Would you come here? Come on, here, out. Dear, oh dear. They're shouting and swearing at each other. Ah, that was a hopeful sound. I think the fox has just legged it and has run off out of my shrubbery with Rat behind it. Now, that's how you start the new year off. Ah. Hopefully, he won't catch up with that fox. They're way too quick. The lucky thing is, I pinned the end door open because it's a bit breezy, and I nearly got locked out of my own house. Oh, dear. Right, we've just got to wait for him to come back now. There'll be a few choice words, so I'm going to turn the microphone off now because you won't want to hear what I'm going to say. Oh dear. I made it back indoors. It's warm. I got wet feet. I'm just going to sit and wait.
Oh, I really hope you enjoyed that. Now, don't forget, if you'd like to hear more episodes, then you can email us and join the mailing list. It's chris@countrysidepodcast.co.uk, or you can head to the website, www.countrysidepodcast.co.uk, where you'll find all of the episodes and the transcripts available too. And if you need any technical help, we're on hand here at Soundyard. You can email us, or if email isn't an option for you, then you can call us and leave a message on 01603 273 899. Thanks for listening.